listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 200 Fox Sports radio stations, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas each weekday. We've got an action-packed Wednesday. This is what I call the sandwich day. When there's 2 days off in between, you got the day after to recap. You got the day before to preview. And we are now in the sandwich, which is a fun place to be. It loosens you up. We'll be talking about Kevin Durant, his surgery. And we have a special medical expert in to discuss his prognosis. At least he claims. We haven't seen his credentials yet. In studio, the mystery guest and Brad Powers with all the college knowledge. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth. And if we don't tell the truth, we'll wink at you clearly and deliver it to you. Jonas, I have a question. This is not prepared.
Yeah.
Now, before the show starts, they do oftentimes a clip of the show. The theory is you listen to Gottlieb. Hey, you know that Vegas show? I heard it's pretty good. And then they hear the clip and say, you know something? That does sound good. But usually, it takes a couple days, it seems like, to turn around. Like if I, you know, on Monday I say something, maybe the clip's out on Wednesday or Thursday.
Right.
And it's never been a joke. It's always been like great information. Yesterday we were going to bet on shaving your beard. How much money would it take you to shave the beard? Because a lot of people have speculated, not me, but a lot of people, are saying that it's painted on, that it's actually not a beard. But here's the tip, and I'm going to tell you guys, put it in your back pocket. If you're making a bet with somebody and they know the answer and they want to bet, don't bet. Unless they're, you know, way drunk. And then maybe. So, Brad, you had an example with
this. Oh, yeah.
Fezzik, who is at an undisclosed location. He's supposed to be back for Friday for the Game 7. No one knows. I saw on Twitter there was a picture, apparently, of Freddie Van Vliet's hometown.
Yep.
And people were speculating Fezzik was seen there. So, I don't know. All right? Again, people are saying, Fezzik is, I mean, his theme is he has a mansion and a yacht, and it's literally in like, I have a mansion and a yacht. So, like, the guy is not an athlete by any stretch.
I am Elmer J. Foote, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
You're not thinking that guy's benching 200 pounds or whatever. But somehow he suckered you into what bet?
Yeah, he said, and he makes a lot of these claims. I could dunk a basketball with a volleyball and all this stuff.
It's almost like he's setting you up.
Yeah, he was setting me up, I think. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, hey, I can bench press at least 200 pounds. I was like, I'll take that bet. I don't think you can. And lo and behold, we go to the gym a couple weeks later. I bet him $500 that he couldn't bench press 200 pounds, and he puts it up easily.
I mean, it was like nothing. I think he did like 6 reps or something.
He did, just for fun.
But that's old man strength, though, man.
Yeah, well, you know, but not old man strength. Is a guy who used to be an athlete at some point, is the theory, right?
Not a chess
player. Not the chess team. The guy that the other chess team members used to pick on, literally. So anyway, when you were so anxious, Jonas, to make the bet about your beard, how quickly it would grow back, I thought, listen, I'm backing away. Jonas knows. And I gave him a call. I said, hey, it's testosterone. Somehow that is the intro clip to this show turned around in less than 24 hours. I've never seen it turned around like that. So explain to us
the inner workings at Fox in LA that you made that happen.
Well, I want you to know, first off, I had nothing to do with that. All right?
So first off, when he starts to like Jonas is always cool as a cucumber. That's the first time I've seen him on the defensive. I actually think he had something to do with it.
I have, and there are rumors that maybe some people, if their own voice is in a promo, that somehow that miraculously ends up as a promo for a said show. But I did not have anything to do with it. I hate hearing myself on the air, so I definitely had nothing to do with it.
Jonas is the guy that's on air like 30 hours a week. Jonas is reaching for the soundboard.
Yeah, I ain't no suit wearing businessman like you. You know, I'm just a gangster, I suppose. And I'm on my corners.
I mean,
sounds just like me.
It's like you're that bad now. Is Avon Barksdale?
Yeah. All right, RJ. We start after the Beardgate here on Straight Out of Vegas with the latest on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant took to his own Instagram account earlier today to announce that he did in fact rupture his Achilles tendon, and he already underwent successful surgery to repair the injury. So now, what does Vegas make of what Durant announced earlier on social media?
Yeah, first off, I think it's what was expected. So in a way, what Vegas does is build in expectation. This was expected.
Yep.
Okay. Number two, this was curious to me, and I want to throw it out for peer review. And if you have feedback out there across the country, just tweet me, at RJ in Vegas. If it's really good, we'll read it. Really good. I think the absence of Golden State being involved, it seems in any real way with the surgery, the decision, flying to New York, it just seems like Durant took control of this. Now, in the pre-production meeting, our producer, Daryl, said, yeah, but, you know, player empowerment, et cetera. And I think he's right. It doesn't show us for sure. And Daryl, jump in if you want to clarify anything. It doesn't show us for sure that there's consternation between Golden State and Durant, but it's the absence of something that could have been positive. If somehow Durant was there with a team representative, it just doesn't feel like that. And when I hear the news guy for Fox Sports Radio, when he's not working with Jonas on hatching some plan or something, I hear him say, and Golden State says that they knew about it and they just allowed Durant, or they chose to respect Durant's word. It's like some presidential, you know, they were caught, you know, like some president or candidate was caught with some woman. It's like they were friends from way back. It's like a PR statement. So the fact that Golden State feels like they need to put out a statement to answer the question that I'm raising seems to be a bad sign for Golden State. Daryl.
Well, I feel like in this case, you should let Kevin Durant make this decision because of look at everything that led to these circumstances. It was his choice to play, yes. But look at all of the articles that were posted previously to him playing. And then if you put out your own narrative.
So when you say articles, you mean that the whisper campaign, it seemed that he was coming back slow.
And then even the fans on social media, he was faking X, Y, and Z. His mother had to come to his defense. Why not let him just put out this news?
No. And I don't think it's a matter of let, right? Because officially, well, I guess he's still under contract for Golden State, right? Because he has to opt. No, he has to opt out, I think. Okay. Well, actually, we got our team doctor type here in a second. But Jonas, what I mean, again, you watch the sports world as much as anyone. Wouldn't you say the absence of Golden State's participation isn't a good sign for your nemesis Colin Cowherd's theory that this is when the family comes together, when the aloof one is weak?
Now, is this, and I got to ask the question first, do you mean because Golden State had no news and Kevin Durant posted it separate
State? It seems like if you didn't read Golden State that was put in there because the New York Times way back when said that's the way that you reference people, I'm not sure you'd know what team Durant was on. So when you say where wasn't Golden State involved, I'd say nowhere. Like, how? What was Golden State's participation in this?
I think Golden State, as far as the announcement goes, making the announcement.
Announcement, the medical side, you know, I mean, they're saying we don't know. Like, when they're saying we don't know, that's different than no comment or we're going to let him say it. Sounds like they're not even in communication.
I took it as they wanted to let him make the announcement first before they did. But I could be totally wrong. That's how I took it.
That's the story, right? That, but and maybe it's true. But boy, oh boy, if you and let's say this, Brad, jump in.
Well, Vegas kind of agrees with you as far as the sports books out there that have been offering. Where will Kevin Durant play next? Yesterday, it looked like it was a negative for the Knicks, or at least that's what the market reacted
to. All right, so let's be clear: is if you look before the injury,
yep,
to right after the injury, Golden State got upgraded as next year's destination.
Yep.
Every other team downgraded,
including the Knicks. But now looking at it today, and I shopped this around at a couple different books, Knicks are now back up to being a significant favorite, right around minus 200 now to get Kevin Durant next year.
And that sounds, listen, when there's bets that are based on information, I don't care how good a pick from me is, a pick from Fezzik, anybody, no matter how good it is, it's not based on information. It's based on information that leads to a handicap, and the handicap is either right or wrong. I think Phil Mickelson's going to do well with this course. That's not information. Information is Phil Mickelson's going to not have a caddy, and you can bet on it. Or what song is going to be played first at halftime that somebody knows and doesn't tell you, or whatever. So to me, it's a situation that if Durant is telling people he's close to, the Knicks have reached out, they've reconfirmed their commitment or whatever the wording is for tampering or to avoid it, and he's feeling good about that. That friend tells a couple people, and eventually, soon enough, people are betting it. So when you see a line move that's not based on a handicap, but based on information that's going to objectively be right, those line moves are often right because they are based on inside information. All right, when we come back, we're going to hold our medical guest, but we're going to lead with him when we come back. So one, what is the prognosis for Durant? We got the right guy for that, no doubt, credentialed. And also the other fallout when it comes to Durant and this devastating injury. It seems like the PR side of things have really turned against him.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a look at the future for one Kevin Durant.
You know, Jonas, with all his testosterone in that beard, it takes a real man to choose Madonna as an intro. I mean, let's be honest. Talk about securing your masculinity right now on the Strip. And we bring you the weather each day, the fun of Vegas. It's 106. So if it sounds like there's a little delirium, it's 106 right now. And the neon, once again, is crackling.
So, RJ, we've talked about Kevin Durant making the announcement on his own Instagram earlier that he went down with the Achilles and it was ruptured. They've already had the surgery. It was a successful surgery. You found it a little bit odd that there was the absence of Golden State through all of this and that there's sort of a PR battle with Kevin Durant and the blame that is being handed out for the injury.
Yeah, I'm not even sure there's a battle. I think it's more Durant's doing his thing and Golden State's trying to look like they're not left out is what it seems like to me. Others disagree. I think it's an interesting topic to debate. But when you've got an expert in, you've got to take advantage. His name is Bernie Fratto. You might know him, weekend host of Straight Outta Vegas. That's 11 o'clock Pacific to midnight every Saturday. 11. So if the bars are letting out on the East Coast, Bernie is your man. Now, Bernie, we've known each other for a while, and you're part of the family. I'm not exactly sure, because you said, I've got to come in and speak on Durant's prognosis. Is that the way you said it? Yes or no?
Fair enough.
Okay. So I guess the first question is, can you share with the audience your credentials when it comes to the field of medicine, the science of medicine, really?
Absolutely. I surround myself with people more intelligent than me, present company included. I know which questions to ask and re-ask. Hell, I can't even read the Merck manual, but I have good sources.
So you're saying none?
Correct.
Why does this still seem like gambling to you?
Well, let's roll the dice. Bernie, you've got a theory. We're going to give you, let's put a clock on him because Bernie can be loquacious. Let's not lie. You admit to that, don't you, Bernie?
I can be verbose, too.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to give him 100 seconds. Go.
All right, first of all, Durant's a different cat. In spite of earning $193 million in his career, four scoring titles, two championships, a finals MVP, and the respect of his peers, he is still chasing the ever-elusive victory within. 30 years old, wastes no time, gets his surgery done today. He's going to come back, he's going to do very well, and have several productive years. Here's our precedent. Dominique Wilkins, in 1992, at age 32, tore his Achilles, was back in camp 8 months later. The following season, averaged 29 points a game.
That's compared to what the year before?
He averaged 27 the year before.
So you're saying he averaged more points after his Achilles?
The next year, he was comeback player of the year.
Hold on a second. Brad, you're laughing, so I'm guessing his shots went up, like, significantly.
No. It's funny that Bernie brings up the one exception. I have a chart here of everyone that suffered at least good, solid players or great players like Dominique Wilkins.
Run the names. You don't want to get me in the ring on this one.
Run the names real quick.
DeMarcus Cousins, Rudy Gay, Kobe Bryant, Chauncey Billups.
Okay, stop on Kobe. It happened at age 34. He still averaged 18 points a game the next 3 years. He was at the end of his career, five years older.
Hold on a second. No one's saying Durant's not going to come back. My statement, and let's see if you disagree with it, Bernie, and I'm RJ Bell, the host of Straight Outta Vegas, weekend host, not as good, Bernie Fratto. I mean, let's just be honest for a second, right, Bernie?
Okay.
You okay with that?
Okay.
All right. I don't want to fight Bernie. He's like 20 years older than me, and he's like built like a rock. Who are we kidding?
That grip that I was talking about earlier.
So my statement is simple.
Yeah.
I think it's more than likely, better than 50%, and I think it's probably better than 80%, that we will never see the Durant at the level of play he was last year, meaning this plateau, wherever he reached his pinnacle. Because this is the age where you are not yet hindered by age, but you have experience. You know, different sports, it's different, but 30 in basketball, 31, this is the pinnacle. Now, typically 32, 33 wouldn't be so bad. History tells us that a player will drop off, what were we guessing, 20, 25% was what the numbers look like on average?
Yep.
And Durant at minus 25% is still a max guy probably. But he's not this Durant.
Assuming facts, not an evidence, Your Honor. Back to Wilkins. For the next 4 years, he averaged 27 a game. Even at age 37, averaged 18. Ironically, the injury that did him in is he fractured the ring finger on his shooting hand 6 months after he came back. That hampered him more. I'm betting on Durant.
So we're saying, Dr. Fratto is saying, Achilles don't, all the hype, it's just high. I remember
No, I'm not saying that at all. We had to draw a reference point, and the most comparable reference point to both you guys was Dominique Wilkins.
Why?
Based on age.
He's the only guy that was like 30, 31 that blew out his Achilles.
Oh, what you want? Mehmet Okur, Voshan Leonard. There's a bunch of slugs that had this happen to, and they never came back.
I mean, listen, here's the thing. Is Durant a physical freak? Now, the easy answer to that is... Yes, he's 7 foot. He moves like a gazelle. He's, you know, able to shoot from outside, and he's bigger than Kareem or whatever. You know, you hear all this stuff, and it's like, it's true. It's like, this is, like, if we hadn't seen it, and he just showed up. Like, if he was hiding somewhere, we'd be like, what the H? I mean, it'd be hard to believe.
Yep.
So, to me, that's different than the physical freak like an Adrian Peterson, different injury, but was able to come back so much quicker than anyone expected from a knee injury. I don't know if Durant is that kind of physical freak. I think his frame is, but what do we see about him that he recovers faster than an average professional athlete? Not saying, you know, a schmo on the couch.
You raise a valid point, but it's the inner fire within that's going to drive this guy.
I would say that's lacking with him.
No, No, you're reading that wrong.
For an elite NBA
I interviewed
guy?
A lot of people before. You know what the number one drawback is for people trying to come back from this injury? Depression. You can't even walk for 8 weeks after the surgery, and most people lose their will. This is going to fire him up. We'll know in a couple, 3 or 4 years from now. I'm sticking to my story.
What I'm saying is, and I think, listen, gambling, living life, it's about having opinions different than the consensus. That's the only way to really hit a home run, to really make money if you're betting. I like that you have a different opinion, Bernie, but it seems like it's predicated on Durant's will. And let's go to Jonas again as the voice of the fans. If we had a list of, you know how like the baseball cards, or in this case, I guess I didn't ever collect basketball cards, but it would say like 3 bullet points, and one of them is, you know, tough in big games, or, you know, trying to describe their game.
Right.
Would Durant, would anywhere on Durant's basketball card be, oh, just such a hard worker, and no matter what, he keeps persevering?
He has a reputation as a good worker, but I don't think it's
the first
thing.
Yeah, but I'm not saying he's not good. He's not a professional athlete. He doesn't work harder than Brad Powers, for example, who is one of the hardest working guys in radio. I'm saying for a pro athlete, he's not exceptional at that. It doesn't seem like that's the story.
Yeah, that's not the first thing you think of when you think of Durant.
So it strikes me he's going to be like a typical pro athlete with this recovery. But again, we don't know. Now, what we do know, I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas, it looks like the money isn't going to be a problem, where the fallback is to opt into the contract. I think the option year with Golden State, it's what, about 33?
31.5.
31.5 sticks, as we like to call it. I mean, you got to be so cool to call $1 million a stick.
Wags, 5 sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
I'm not there yet. I mean, I'm doing it. I'm faking it till you make it with the sticks. But that's my goal. Like, Brad, we got 2 sticks. Go buy that company. You know, that kind of deal is cool. He's getting 31 sticks no matter what. And some change. He could pay 10 school teachers? Yeah, 12 school teachers with the change. Okay, for the year. But I don't think it's going to come to that. So what odds, Brad, what odds would you have to get if I said, I don't think Durant is going to get offered a max? Now, that's a different bet than him turning down a max, because the theory is maybe if it's a team he doesn't want, he might take a year at 31 sticks instead of the contract with the team he doesn't want to be with. But we will know if he's offered it. Would you take 10 to 1?
No.
So you're saying it's less than a 10% chance Durant doesn't get that offer. Anyone disagree?
No.
All right. So his money's fine. And you know what dawned on me since yesterday's show? We didn't really talk about that this is the freaking NBA title series. This is the champ, meaning we all talk, should he play, shouldn't he play? But no one explicitly said, what are they playing for? They're playing to win titles, in theory, and get paid. Well, he's getting paid regardless. Colin made that point today. I mean, it seemed like Colin really turned in 24 hours. I'm not sure what happened. I mean, Durant had a contentious call or what. I don't know. But he was pretty critical today, it felt like. And, you know, Jonas always says Colin flip-flops. So, I mean, What?
Right.
I mean, listen, I just got to tell the truth here. If that bothers Jonas or the suits or Colin, I apologize. Take it up with Jonas. I didn't say it. But either way, is with Durant, I think he was medically cleared to play. Like, imagine the whenever you get mad at one thing, and this is great romantic advice. If you find yourself fighting with your partner, ask yourself, what could they have done that you would have been okay with? Because sometimes both choices would have upset you. And that's probably a sign you need to figure it out. If Durant had been cleared to play like he was by the doctors, and remember, there's hundreds of millions of dollars at stake. If they made a mistake, the doctors, let's say, or somehow it was like whisper, you should, you know, clear him, you know, no one's going to know. You don't think Durant would potentially sue for hundreds of millions of dollars? They're not going to do that. This isn't back in North Dallas 40 days. So to me, he's cleared to play. If it's the title, your team's down 3-1, your dynasty's at stake. The doctor, I mean, everyone got on Kawhi because he was cleared to play and didn't play. Regular season games that were borderline meaningless. It's almost like if Durant didn't play, it would have been one of the biggest indictments on a player we've ever seen.
Yep.
Now, in hindsight, it's hard to be that harsh with a guy that's been hurt now. But people get hurt all the time. That's part of the game. Obviously, if it was the NFL and they would get cut and they would just keep that signing bonus or pro rata or whatever, then it would be, you know, you'd say, well, he didn't get paid. Durant's getting paid.
It was Durant's final decision to play. Everything you said is accurate. But keep in mind, he did so without the benefit of a full scrimmage.
Okay, so what does that even mean?
He had a little shoot-arounds, couple two-on-three drills, those types of things. 94 feet.
He was breakdancing before the game, as Joan has pointed out.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like, and let's be candid.
He looked healthy during the game.
The more that I hear people analyze his play during the game is oh, go ahead, Bernie.
I just want to say, you guys know you can't simulate game speed and game intensity. And
so you're saying
starts.
A scrimmage doesn't matter then?
No, it matters. Well, because it may have that injury may have been exposed, but at the end of the day, let's go back.
You mean he would have blown his Achilles
we
there?
We don't know. We'll never know. But to your point, he was cleared, and it was his final decision.
I agree.
But there's no chicanery there. Everything you said was right. I'm saying they cleared it without.
Are you fact-checking the show?
What do you mean?
I mean, you're telling me I'm right. I know I'm right. That's why I'm here. The daytime host.
I'm giving an addendum.
Only drunk people are listening to?
You just insulted my audience.
Exactly. No, they want to be dry. I don't think anyone's forced to drink.
Are they drinking because of my show?
Yeah, that's the rumor.
All right. I rest my case, Your Honor.
All right. Bernie's mic is now off. I know you guys are. Try to talk, Bernie. You don't exist now. Check him out 11 Pacific to midnight on Saturday. And I won't be there to make it funny, though. So, what do you think, Brad?
I'll be there in a couple weeks.
Is it true you're going after that spot? It's very it's very Darwinian.
No.
It's very Darwinian in pregame.
Boy. RJ.
Final point about Durant. If it would be absurd if he didn't play, or let's say contemptible, I think the sports world would have held him in contempt if Durant didn't play when it was the biggest. And this fits into the whole idea that we're always thinking about the next thing in the NBA. Like Durant's next year is more important than
Game 6 and possibly
like
Game
7. What's
seven?
The best thing that could have happened next year is them win a title, whoever team he's on. They're ready to win a title if they can. Now, obviously, they got to win three straight at the time. But this was the highest stake. You can't wait. You know, it's almost like those runners, Usain Bolt. It's like, well, it's the quarterfinals of the Olympics. I don't think he's really stretching it out. It's like, when's he going to run 100 yards as fast as he can? And finally in the finals, he will. Like once every 4 years. I mean, it's like basketball. Game 5 of the finals isn't enough to play when you've been medically cleared. It doesn't mean we don't have sympathy for him and his 31 and a half sticks. But then you add in the fact it was a free roll when it came to his brand. If they lost, hey, they were losing anyway. He came back early, blah, blah, blah. And if they win, he's on Mount Rushmore. And I made the case yesterday, and I'll close with this. If they win the next two games, Golden State, Durant will go down as a hero because I believe it's almost an undebatable assessment that they would not have won Golden State Game 5 if Durant didn't play. He played superior for those 12 minutes, scored 11 points. His replacement wasn't going to score 11 there, most likely. They only won by one. Now, I know the game flow is going to be different, but you can make the case Durant's 12 minutes were necessary to win the title if Golden State wins the title, and thus his sacrifice, his effort would be rewarded in the ultimate way. He'd go down in history. Does that feel right to you, Brad?
It does feel right. Durant's plus minus in Game 5 was the best of any player that played in that game.
All right, in just a minute, we're going to talk about another controversy. Bernie's not going to be talking. He might be screaming, but you won't hear it. We're going to talk about another controversy, which is did Toronto really cheer Durant going down?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we'll continue to take a look at Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow night. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You the Fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, early look of tomorrow's game. Also, we got a little tidbit on the U.S. Open, the favorites, and a tidbit. And also, we've got a little something on the only time all year I'll ever talk hockey is if there's a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup final. 60 seconds, the same we gave Game of Thrones odds. I know growing up near Pittsburgh, I should have been a hockey fan. But where I grew up, like, the hockey kids were, like, weird. They were playing in the street. They'd get, like, a skull can and tape it up with black. Yeah, with black electrical tape. I mean, I wanted no part of that. I'm just being honest. But
and you couldn't use duct tape because duct tape would melt in the sun if you played during the summertime, so you had to use different tape.
So you know about this.
Yes, yeah.
Do you have a Penguins hat on?
That's a Penguins hat, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you trying to act like you're from Pittsburgh to impress me?
Listen, I happen to wandered around Carson and the south side of Pittsburgh before. Yeah, I know my stuff.
So we got some sound, Jonas, as you know, and I think it's interesting to listen. And listen closely, if you were just listening to this game, what would be your impression? And this is around when Durant went down. So, Jonas, throw it to it.
I don't like to hear the fans cheering.
I'm surprised by that, and the players are telling him not to be doing that.
No question. These Raptor fans have been wonderful, but to cheer for a player who gets injured. And credit Serge Ibaka. And there's the play right away. He knew it. You will not see a better sight than we just witnessed. Unfortunately, what happened to Kevin Durant, but Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka telling the crowd, no, we are not going to cheer when this guy goes down. That's appreciation for greatness.
Now, that seems to be the narrative, is there was some, you know, vocal fans cheering that Durant was injured. And to me, it makes no sense. One, and this is coming from one of the hosts at The Ringer. Sometimes I listen to their NBA pod. I'm not exactly sure who was talking here, but I want to give as much credit as I can. But they had a very logical point, which was, if you're at a game, and this fellow was at the game, you have no idea that Durant is hurt in any real way. Let's be honest. For every time someone goes down on a basketball court, it's a serious injury less than 10% of the time.
Agree. Right?
Now, also, he made even a better point. At the time, the play was going on. They had a fast break when Durant went down. So most of the crowd's not looking, maybe even saw that he fell from obstructed views or whatever way up. They're looking at the basketball. They're looking and they're cheering that they're looking to score on an advantage break. So the fact that Durant happened to be down at that time, I don't think was the focus of most of the crowd because the game was going on. Now, Jonas, again, you watch these things closely. Is that a fair assessment? When Durant went down, when there was cheering going on, the play was the game was still in play, and Toronto had an advantage they were pressing.
Yeah, and people may have just thought it was just a clean turnover or he bounced it off his knee and he fell down. To be being outraged about this, it's people cheer when you drop plates inside a restaurant. Like, this happens.
Yeah, and to me, I'm not saying there weren't a couple people. Again, even if you're looking at Durant taunting him, and again, taunting any human when they fall, you know, you could say, okay, I don't think I'd do it. I'm not that type. I mean, I'll make fun of Bernie and, you know, hope he doesn't hit me. But, Daryl, you've got a thought.
Yeah, I guess the problem that I have is this. It wasn't just a couple of people. If it was enough for Toronto Raptors players to say stop that, to watch people wave their hands and say goodbye.
But hold on a second. Do we know that the Toronto player, in fact, how could we know that the Toronto players weren't misinterpreting that you can hear the cheering. I get the idea. If you hear that at the beginning, and that's why we played the sound, you could say Durant's down, they're cheering, right? And you can also say it's Father's Day and I ate a hamburger. Well, I'm not a father. It does, you know, maybe I can have a barbecue. There's two things happening here at once that seem related, but if they're not related, we're left with a handful of guys, five or six.
Mm.
The guys that were on camera taunting him were how many?
It was a lot. That was the. It was half of a section in the front row.
Mm. Is that how you saw it, Brad?
I mean, I've seen the clips where there's like multiple people, you know, waving goodbye, but. All right, I'm going to preface
but,
by...
But here's the question, and then jump in with your take, and this will be the last one. In fact, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to pose the question and say, I don't know how they could know he was that injured. Even if he's down on the ground for a minute or two, the idea it's a season, a 12-month injury, there's no way to know that. And if they did, yes, yeah, still there'd be some people that would cheer, but not that many. And no more in Toronto than anywhere else. But when we come back, we got all those picks that we talked about. Literally, U.S. Open. We got a baseball game tonight we got to pick on. We got game seven. And we're going to lead, though, Brad Powers. He had to say, hold on, don't mistake this. So that means it's going to be sizzling.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. And this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fans. So we've been talking about the crowd conspiracy and the controversy involving Kevin Durant going down with the injury in Toronto. RJ, you think that the crowd was sort of looking at something else while in the arena?
Well, they were looking at the ball.
Yeah.
Right? The game was going on. The TV camera was on Durant. So the perception was... everyone's eyes were on Durant,
right?
But the game was still going on. There was a fast break, and they were cheering the fast break. A majority, they weren't cheering Durant's injury, is my take.
Yeah, and Brad Powers has got a scorching hot take. I mean, it's 106 degrees on the Vegas Strip. That's got nothing to do with Brad Powers scorching
hot
take.
Yeah, I don't even want to step on this. Brad, give us the hot take.
Yeah, I don't think the Toronto fans were malicious at all. I mean, if they were looking to be that way, how in the heck about a minute to 90 seconds later they're chanting KD, KD, when they realize, hey, this could be a serious injury? That's not happening if they have some ill intentions towards KD.
That's logical. It's a good point. It's not hot. What's hot about it? You know, even when Brad tries to do a hot take, he does. I mean, I guess that's what you need in a professional gambler that wins, though. So, good point. Wasn't hot.
Guys, it is a golf major weekend, the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach. Coverage on Fox and Fox Sports 1 all weekend long, and it starts tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah, so let's look at the favorites first. Number one, we got Dustin Johnson, 9-1. We've got, you know, I've heard this name, but I'm not sure. It's how do you say the K guy's name?
Koepka.
Koepka, okay.
Brooks Koepka.
Boy, if I was a professional broadcaster, 10-1. Rory McIlroy, I got that, 10-1. Yeah. And I've seen this name before, Tiger Woods, 12-1. I think the T stands for Tiger. So 9-1, Dustin Johnson the favorite. Tiger's the fourth favorite. Even so, Tiger's odds to finish top 10, plus 140. So he's an underdog, Tiger Woods, to finish in the top 10. It shows you, golf is so deep. So many people can win any given tournament. That when a guy dominates, like some of these guys have had stretches, Tiger, obviously, but not in the modern era. I mean, you're the fourth favorite, but you're plus 140 to make the top 10. That's Tiger. By the way, Tiger to make the cut, minus 600. So big favorite to make the cut. Last thing, Phil Mickelson. I don't like betting on Phil because, quite frankly, Phil is such a public guy. People like to bet him. But he's played on Pebble Beach 25 times. That's the most anyone's ever played there, is my understanding. But I know this for sure. He won at Pebble Beach 5 times.
Record.
That's a record. So usually with golf, you got to handicap the course. If you like Mickelson, this is a course he's really excelled at. Quickly, we're going to go to Sleepy. One of our producers is a hockey guy. He's going to give us literally a 45-second handicap on Game 7.
Game 7 tonight, guys. I'm taking Boston on the puck line. I like the Bruins here at home. Reason being, RJ, why do I like the margin? If you go to Game 6, the Blues were up in the last game. Actually, they were down in the last game by like 2 goals. They pulled their goalie with 4.5 minutes left, RJ. That typically doesn't happen with that much time. Boston got another goal to late add on there. So I like Boston here at home. Close it out, win the title here, and win by margin.
All right. So we don't do hockey. Remember, pregame.com does not do hockey. Brad, you've got the ESPN game from one of our pregame guys. This is like everyone's chipping in. Give us the ESPN game.
Yeah, this is from Dave Asler, pregame pro. You like to say he's been winning since Moses was in short pants. Tonight, you got Houston taking on the Milwaukee Brewers. And Dave getting kind of peculiar here. So you can bet this, RJ, first five innings of a baseball game. And he's going under the total. And here's what he likes. Pitchers tonight, you got Justin Verlander and Woodruff for the Brewers. Verlander has only given up more than 3 runs twice this season. That was both against teams in division, teams that see him all the time. Woodruff hasn't played the Astros, so the Astros hitters aren't used to seeing Woodruff. That's advantage for him, at least early on in the process. Both bullpens have been quite suspect, so that's why Dave doesn't like full game under. First five innings tonight, under 4 between the Astros and the Brewers.
Now listen, if you want to bet like a pro, that's what you do. So first five innings, under, we like the pitchers. They're not familiar in the one situation. That's from Dave Esler. Guys, we let all the family involved today. We're going to rethink that, I promise you. But it was fun.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas. We'll be back again tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, with a preview of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. And you can always check out the show at Fox Sports Radio or on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.